Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stink and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
Nathan McKinnon. Where do I start? Well, let's start with him. As the Avalanche able to come from behind, 4-0 down, they roar back, end up getting the game into overtime. Jonathan Drouin scores the game winner. McKinnon loves what this team is doing when they're coming from behind.
They came out really good. Obviously, we think we were a bit, little shocked, and we were pretty bad ourselves, so just a tough combination. You know, I thought Sid showed why he's still the best. He dominated us tonight, especially our line. We had a better third for sure. The full team effort, you know, our depth, the guys we traded for were unreal tonight.
Where do I start with McKinnon? So he now has 34 straight games to start the season at home with at least a point. Now trailing only Wayne Gretzky for the best all time. And I know you kind of roll your eyes at this streak, but I'm sorry, any streak, any record that's held by Wayne Gretzky, good enough in my book.
Yeah, when we were talking about that, and he had like 20 games, and Wayne had what, 41?
40. Yep.
40. I was kind of like, okay, here we go. Whatever, you know, third assist. Woo-hoo. But it is, the more he creeps up on Gretzky, the great one, the better off this thing is. And that, I tell you what, when he is flying down the left-hand side of the ice and he just hits the brake, it's like the first Top Gun. Gonna hit the brakes, he's gonna fly on by. And then he gets that, you know, cross ice pass. I forget who he hit, but just, it was a thing of beauty, man. He got to be a little bit nervous, though, when he gets, like, when he does that and he just puts it right on the tape and you're like, if I miss this shot, right? It got to be a little nerve-wracking. I don't think you have time to think about it, but still.
So he also passed Joe Sakic for most points by an Avalanche player in a single season. Joe had 120. Nathan McKinnon now with 122. And he still has 11 games left. Is Nathan McKinnon going to go down as the greatest Avalanche of them all?
Yes. Sure. You got one Stanley Cup.
Is it dependent on winning a second? Because Joe did, Forsberg did, that whole group did. They won two cups. In order for McKinnon, because statistically speaking, he's going to own the record book.
Sure.
But in order to go down as the greatest of them all, got to win another cup?
It depends on how. He's still fairly young, right? Guy's been in the league forever, and he's still fairly young. Just depends on how the rest of his career goes. But yeah, I think that'll always be a, if he doesn't have two cups, it'll always be a yeah, but. So yes, you're correct. Technically, he's going to have to win another cup.
All right, good stuff, though. Keep it going. Avalanche, red hot. Hottest team in the NHL. They've won 9 in a row and looking like a wagon.
Second down.
It ends for CU as they played a tough game, real good opponent. Marquette was one of the top teams in the country all year. They lost that Kolek guy, that point guard, who is really, really good. Missed him for the Big East tournament and got him back for the NCAA tournament. And now Marquette's looking pretty salty. So the Buffs gave them all they could handle coming off that scintillating 102-100 win over Florida on Friday, but not enough to get over the hump. Tad Boyle looking at what could have been.
I would just say that when a team shoots 61%, you know, against you for the game, almost 62%, and you still got a chance at the end, it means you're doing something right. And for this team, what that means to me is, like, they've been competing their tails off the whole year. And because you don't give up 61%. And, and stay in a game. But we rebounded the ball well. We fought. We battled. We just came up a little bit short.
I think the question coming out of the game yesterday was, the overarching question was, is Tad Boyle the coach to take you to that next level? Good program. He's built a good program.
Yeah.
They're going to be moving into the Big 12, which as a basketball conference is a lot tougher than the Pac-12. Is he the right coach at the right time moving into the new conference moving forward? I'm not so sure.
Come on.
Good coach. There just feels like there's a ceiling that to what this
well, has there been
what a, this team can well, do under
this
him.
Though, but
good there, but not great.
Has there been a ceiling on talent? Have they ever been a top, let's call it 25 talent?
No. But they were able to lure, they were able to get Cody Williams here, who's a presumptive top 5 pick in the draft coming out here. So that's a good sign. It shows that he can bring in a player like right, this. Well,
that,
but
isn't that also kind of a sign of why would you drop him? You're going to the Big 12. Isn't it time if you're finally, because of what Deion has done, if you finally become a place where you can recruit top 10, top 5 talent, shouldn't you let that play out and see if that guy can manage that?
Oh, I know he's not going anywhere.
Oh,
but
you're just trying to get him fired?
No, I'm not trying to get him fired.
Sounds like
I'm putting him on notice. How about that?
It sounds like you're trying.
I'm putting him on notice because I don't.
Are you going to start a list?
I don't see special.
Sid, get my list out.
Good, but not special.
Put Tad Boyle on my list. Parentheses. Mike wants him fired.
All right.
Not. I don't want him on.
Third down.
You know what I'm saying.
Sean Payton at the the owners' meetings, the coaches are there as well, discussing QB options.
When the offseason hit and we began to map out our plans, those plans included, you know, the current professional ranks, which are players in that market, and then also the rookie class. We're kind of in the midst of draft preparation, if you will, and been traveling a lot on these pro days and these private workouts. So we'll continue to monitor the pro market, but also get ready for the April draft.
And that was him talking to DenverBroncos.com yesterday when he touched down at the owners' meetings. We're going to have more from the AFC coaches' breakfast this morning, but he did say that when asked about the possibility of moving up, maybe as perhaps as high as the top 4, he said that was, quote, realistic. You're not buying.
No, I don't buy that. I just think about the coaches' breakfast. Like, are you trying to answer questions while Andy Reid is eating breakfast? You lose a hand. Something like that.
Oh, it's probably a breakfast buffet, too.
Oh, you know it's a buffet.
Oh, breakfast buffets. By the way, I was at Ameristar Blackhawk on Friday.
Oh, that's right. How'd that go?
Went great. Met a lot of great listeners. Everybody, right. You know who you are. Met a lot of great 6 a.m. listeners. 7 a.m. listeners.
I hope people weren't putting bets down on your college basketball analysis.
DB, met DB.
They were losing all kinds of money.
DB was what I always hear. He said, your forehead's not nearly as big as Mark makes it out to be. I said, yes, I know, I know. Mark body shames me kind. All the time.
Hey, very, very, very kind of you, DB.
He did say, though, he goes, yeah, but he's got the wispiness of your hair right, though.
Yeah.
He got that one right.
Yeah, I did get that one right.
But anyway, hit the buffet on Friday. Did first you know. Buffet I've hit in
oh my gosh, I bet you
several
was
years.
Delicious.
It was awesome. It was fantastic. That'll do it for 4 Down Territory, our tour around the Denver sports
scene.
Hey,
by the way, really quick, a texter just hit us up and said, hey, man, between the Nugs and the Avs in the month of March so far, they're 18-3. What's the historically, what's the best month in the history if you combine
NBA
the two
and
records,
NHL teams?
Yeah, if you combine the 18-3 has got to be up there.
It's got to be up there. Well, but they're just setting us up for real history.
Yes.
Real history.
When we do the joint parade,
the real
it's
history.
Be oh, freaking
you, now
awesome.
You just said it. I wasn't going to say it because I didn't want to jinx it, but apparently you're the jinxy captain.
No,
Cecil Lammy, our guy on the scene at the owners' meetings in Orlando, he just got done chatting with Sean Payton. Cecil will join us live next.
Ever since we got Xfinity, we have Wi-Fi all over the house, even in my hiding spots.
Ha! Found ya.
How?
That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. Now through March 21st, get started with 200 megabit internet for $25 a month for 2 years with no annual contract and get Wi-Fi equipment included. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply to internet service and Wi-Fi equipment. Actual speeds vary.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
What was the best thing you saw this weekend? A lot happening. From the remarkable Avs comeback, only the third time in an Avs franchise history that they came back from four goals down, which does beg the question, is it, do you focus on them being a terrific come-from-behind team, or are you worried that they don't get off to stronger starts, faster starts? We'll debate that after we talk to our pal Cecil Lammy, who is in Orlando, where right now it is sunny and 66 degrees on a way up to a high of 79, where Cecil right now it's in the 20s here and it's still snowing. So good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I'm at the Ritz-Carlton and I'm at the pool. So I don't have my swim trunks on yet, but man alive, we got a busy day. Talking to Greg Pender later, talking to George Pate later. Just got done with the coach's breakfast and Sean Payton. Lots of big information for the Broncos this morning.
All right, well, so start us off. What's some of the big information?
It's realistic. They're going to move up, just like I reported back in January when I heard from my guys around the league, all the scouts I talked to, like, hey, the Broncos are probably going to move up. Yeah, that's what they're probably going to do. And Sean Payton kind of have a little fun with Ian Rappaport, who had reported like, oh, it may not be realistic. No, Sean's like, no, it is realistic. Those were his words. So get ready, everybody. They got to find the quarterback they love. Then they got to find a trade partner to do that. So that was the first piece of information. The second biggest piece of information today was based off the pro day question I asked Sean Payton, and he answered about J.J. McCarthy because he wasn't at J.J. McCarthy's pro day last week, and it was a big deal, right? Where's Sean Payton? Well, they worked out J.J. McCarthy for 5 hours the day after his pro day. So Sean Payton has had one-on-one work with J.J. McCarthy, who could be the quarterback that they fall in love with. Because honestly, guys, I don't want to say he's Drew Brees. That's too high of a praise. But if we look at, you know, a little mobile, maybe not the strongest arm type of guy, very efficient, very accurate player, McCarthy could be described as such, just like Drew Brees was years ago when he came out of Purdue.
Then, Cecil, what's the price tag to move up from 12 to 4? Knowing that you're going to have to probably try to beat out the Vikings and maybe Raiders to do so.
Yeah, and the Raiders maybe less so. I'm going to dig some more on that. I think Antonio Pierce is legit. We can't make fun of the Raiders anymore. They got a real head coach. So I'm going to dig more on the Raiders thing. Let's put that on the back burner. It's Minnesota. Minnesota not being at J.J. McCarthy's pro day. Like, they're not fooling anybody. That's their guy. I can almost tell you assuredly that's their guy. So honestly, it's moving up to 3. It's figuring out New England. From what I know, New England wants Jaden Daniels. Also, from what I know, the Washington Commanders are going to take Jaden Daniels with Adam Peters, their GM there. They love the guy at LSU. So once New England figures out, you're not going to get Daniels. They might move off of 3, and maybe that's the way that you catapult in front of Minnesota. Minnesota's got more firepower to do it. What's it take? How's it take? Look at the Jimmy Johnson chart. You know, it's really not that hard, and it won't include Pat Surtain for anyone worried about that. But they can do it. It's just finding when and how far up they can do it. 4 and 3 are the targets. And, Sean Payton did talk about Monty today. Monty, the GM of the Cardinals. So maybe 4 is the spot they could be targeting.
But you are still talking about the next two drafts, the top of the next two drafts to do it.
Yeah, okay. You know, what do the Chiefs give up to move up 16 spots for Pat Mahomes? What do the Bills give up to move up 5 spots for Josh Allen? Like, if you get the guy, it doesn't matter. Yeah. So, oh my God, they won't have another first-round pick. They'll screw up. No, go get your guy. If you can get that franchise quarterback, take that swing. And that's why I'm worried about George Payton and his style, because George Payton seems skittish when it comes to, like, oh, there's a lot of misses in the first round, guys. Yeah, there's a lot of misses after the first round. You know, go up to the plate, see that coming in, and then crush it. That's what the Broncos have to do. And honestly, George Payton has to do it, in my opinion, if he wants to save his job.
Is there anybody else other than J.J. McCarthy that you think they may be targeting? Obviously, Drake May has been. It feels like he's fallen out of contention here. But anybody else?
Yeah, and that's the answer, Stank. I know you're not going to love it, but that's the answer. Okay, are we in a May McCarthy sweepstake? Is that what it is? But it's funny to note Sean Payton kind of poo-pooed the idea of arm strength. You know this, Stank, from studying film. The physical stuff's so damn easy to see. Oh, my God, look at the arm. Oh, my God, he can run. Yeah, look, can he hit the broadside of a barn? Can he throw it in the ocean, stand on a beach? Like, there's so many problems with May's game. I was talking to one of my favorite quarterback evaluators last week, driving back from the Wyoming Pro Day, and he's like, if I squint real hard, I can see Derek Carr and Drake May. Is anybody excited about that? I don't think you should be, but is it May, McCarthy? Do you just sit put at 12 and take Bo Nix, which is not overdrafting him? I know people have said that. It's overdrafting if you take Bo Nix at 12. No, it's not. He's a top 15 pick. He's been a first-round pick for 2 years. You know, I kind of like that, I don't know, guarantee in the box like Tommy Boy, where you're assured, like, hey, this guy's been seen as a first-rounder. He's not some, you know, getting hot at the end and now he's a first-rounder. No, a guy like Bo Nix, he's been considered a first-rounder for a couple of years. Maybe the Broncos can stay put if Minnesota beats him to the punch in terms of moving up for J.J. McCarthy.
Cecil Lammy joined us from the owners' meetings in Orlando. He took in the Sean Payton breakfast/press conference this morning. If the Broncos are not looking at a quarterback and simply looking to draft a football player, is there a name or two that you think is atop their wish list?
Yeah, and it would be Brock Bowers. You know, that seems to be the standard answer. Can you get a playmaking tight end? I do know this assuredly. A playmaking tight end is likely number two on their list. Now, number one is obviously quarterback. I think you move up, you get your quarterback, and then in the mid rounds, let's say fourth round, you get a Jared Wiley from TCU. I love that kid. He's a big-bodied, basically receiver. You know, don't ask to block. Who cares? You need that weapon. You got plenty. You'll find the blockers. You got plenty of blocking tight ends. Get that weapon tight end, and they're available in the mid rounds. You may be thinking, well, wait a second, Cease. What are you talking about? This slappy mid round guy. How many tight ends from the mid rounds have become Pro Bowlers and superstars in this league? George Kittle, Travis Kelce. Need I go on? Like, here we go. We got another one potentially in a Jared Wiley. So yeah, if they don't take a quarterback, which it's 95% quarterback. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, this has got to be it. You've got to make that move. You got to get your guy. This whole talk about Jarrett Stidham, that's spin, that's PR. Like, oh, Jarrett Stidham, he'd be fine. Jarrett Stidham is not good at football, okay? I don't want to be mean. It's not personal corporate. Like, no, hey, go get your guy. Go get the real starter for the Broncos. I think that's in the draft. I think they move up to do it.
So let's just say they can't work a deal to get up to four. There's no deal to be had for the Broncos. And would they have? Do you think they'd have to move up to get to Knicks, or do you think Knicks will get to them? I still am very concerned about what the Giants are going to do because I just don't believe Daniel Jones is your guy. Right. So I'm concerned about them. What New England's going to do? What the Giants are going to do? And then if Minnesota, depending on what they work, would Bo Nix be there at 12 in your mind?
Yes, I believe he would be. Now, it is the season of live stink. You know this. We all know this. Like, we got to work through this stuff. And I've been working on the Giants stuff since January. I was among the first to report, like, they're thinking about even moving up for a quarterback. And people are like, oh, my God, they just paid Daniel Jones. I know. Again, Daniel Jones, not good at football. You got to get a quarterback that's good at football. So I've heard recently, and again, I got to decipher whether this is more like misdirection, misinformation, but it seems like the most recent information I have about the Giants is they're not going to go with quarterback. They might go one of those receivers. You know, the three best players in this draft might be those three receivers. But anyway, so it's like, okay, I'm going to keep working on a Giants angle. What do they do there? I don't think the Raiders are as much of a threat. If that changes, I'll let everybody know based on the people I talk to. But right now, if Bo Nix is your guy, if that's the one that Sean Payton has fell in love with, then he'll be there at 12. I don't think you have to move up for him. And for the people that say, move back and get a second rounder and collect more picks, like, no. If you find the guy, get your guy, even if that is Bo Nix at 12. It's not overdrafting him. That was not a bad move whatsoever. And this whole idea of, like, you can move back and you get these picks, that's a fantasy land. This ain't fantasy football, quote Nick Saban years ago. Like, this is the really real world. So get your quarterback, and don't worry about, oh, more picks. Okay, more picks to screw up. Who's making the picks, right? Like, you got to get the right guys. It starts with that quarterback.
Great work, Cecil. Enjoy yourself. Plenty of sunscreen, and enjoy your pool time.
Yeah, put your pants on, too, buddy.
Yeah, put your pants on. I don't think they want you naked in the pool.
Waiting around naked in the pool.
All right, I'll do that, fellas. Be good.
Cecil Lammy, live from the owners' meetings in Orlando. Lot to digest there. We'll do that. What's trending coming up next? Did Michael Malone send a message to one of his young bench players? That plus, who says the Rockies don't spend money? That's next.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
Here we go. Congratulations to Nathan MacKinnon as he passes Joe Sakic now for the single-season Avalanche record for most points in a year.
It's tough to answer that. I mean, I obviously Joe had it, and I don't think I'm as good as Joe ever was. So it's a good number, I guess. It's a good stat to have, but a lot of guys are having special seasons for sure.
Oh, so humble, but take a bow. 122 points, still 11 games left to go. And with the way he's putting up points right now, he's going to shatter this record.
Mike, how is he compared to Joe?
Wow.
I mean, you've got...
Joe's my guy. I love Joe, but...
Just looking at you, you've got a lot of information stored about hockey.
Joe Sakic.
In that dome.
Joe Sakic was a witch. Just a witch. But MacKinnon is a better 200-foot player than Joe was. And I'm not saying Joe, like... Didn't bother to play the opposite end of the ice, but there is a level of strength and dominance and ferociousness that MacKinnon plays with that I feel more the on both ends of the ice than I felt with Joe. And look, we're talking about Zach Bye here. We're talking 1-1A.
Yeah,
that's how close we're.
All right, so
1-1A.
So. Shooting ability. I'm going to just give you a list. I'm going to keep it track.
Joe Sakic had maybe the best. Joe Sakic had the best wrist shot I ever saw. I've ever seen.
Okay, so shooting goes to Joe.
Oh, well, I'm not.
Well, you just said that.
I know, but all right, I'll give. Oh no, that's tough. I'll give Joe a slight advantage. Slight.
Okay. All right.
Slight.
Physicality.
MacKinnon.
Speed.
MacKinnon. And Joe could move, I know. But MacKinnon.
200 feet.
MacKinnon.
Toughness.
Oh, that's unfair. No. Joe Sakic beat up Doug Gilmore. I like them apples.
Toughness.
Even.
You. Holy!
I can't. I'm not gonna call out the toughness of one guy over another. Like, they're both tough. Joe Sakic played in the. I remember the playoffs. The playoff series against LA when they were winning the cup. Dude was playing with a separated shoulder. Now, I'm not gonna say one's tougher than the other. Nice try. Not gonna turn me against one against the other. Nice shot. All right, I got to move on here.
Learn from the best.
Yeah, it's true.
As soon as you said MacKinnon,
I
was going to be like, oh, Mike Evans thinks that Joe said it wasn't tough.
Ah, see? But touche.
But you still have MacKinnon up 3-1.
I got MacKinnon.
3-1.
I got MacKinnon.
He's crushing. You're basically saying that Mike Evans says that Joe Sakic couldn't hold MacKinnon's shot. It's right here.
Next up.
Taylor's ape.
CU Buffs go out in the second round. Hard-fought game, but a loss nonetheless to Marquette. Tad Boyle lamenting a missed opportunity.
It's a combination of both. You know, you can be proud of your guys and still, like, oh, this was a great opportunity that we let slip away because we gave ourselves chances. I told a team in the locker room after the game, we had chances to win that game. Had good looks, had good wide-open looks, just didn't make them. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes basketball becomes a make-miss game.
Yeah, this one's a tough one. I don't regret the loss to Marquette as much as I regret the way that they slumped so much through the early part of the Pac-12 season that it hurt their ability to go into the tournament with a higher seed. And to be able to avoid a team like Marquette in the second round, have an easier second round matchup, and find themselves in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I just think that that's about, I think what you saw in the tournament is about what they are. A good team, but not quite ready for that next move up into the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight. They're right about where they are. And I think that's fair. And by the way, the way CU, the way what Deion has brought to CU will also help that basketball program.
You think so?
I do. I think that high tide is going to rise all boats. You see the enrollment up. You see the out-of-state tuition and enrollment up. You know, you see guys transfer portal wanting to come to play for Deion. At that same type of, people are going to find out about CU Boulder.
Also, congratulations to the CSU women who advanced to the Sweet 16 and potentially a matchup later this week with Caitlin Clark in Iowa. All Iowa, a number one seed, has to do is beat West Virginia tonight, an 8 seed, and we'll get CU in Iowa.
That'd be awesome.
Later this week.
Caitlin Clark. Woof.
Let's do it. Let's do it. The Nuggets home tonight to take on the Memphis Grizzlies after beating Portland the other night without Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, both getting load management games off. But Christian Brown continues to play well. And listen to Michael Malone. Is he sending a message to one of his young bench players?
Staying confident, staying aggressive. If I make a shot, don't drop your head. Just keep on playing. And, you know, he just plays in attack mode all the time. And he's one guy off our bench I never have to worry about if he's going to play hard. And that's why, you know, aside from him and Reggie off the bench, I don't know who's going to play in the playoffs. I really don't.
Wow. Christian Brown.
Yeah, but that's not the headline there.
Right. No, the headline is
Peyton Watson.
Right.
Watson is...
Oh, the right, you mean...
He's gone from being... Everyone was raving about Peyton Watson, slumping a bit lately, and now here's Malone saying,
"Right,
so, I got two guys off the bench right now I can trust. Well, I need somebody else."
And what he is saying, and I love the psychology of coaching. So what he is saying is he's praising one guy,
mm-hmm.
so that the other guys hear what the difference is. It doesn't matter what Christian Brown does. He's not going to hang his head. He's going to go out and play hard. And he's basically saying, hey, Watson or other guys, dude, you guys, all of a sudden your shot doesn't go down. You're hanging your head. And we're losing you on the other end. And one thing I know about Christian Brown, he can miss shots. He is still going to play his butt off. Like that's a message to everybody else other, not named. Who do you mention? Brown and Jackson?
Yep.
That's a message to everybody else, not name those two guys.
Yep. But honestly, you know, who was the one that when we were looking at the rotation, we were pretty much thinking it was going to be Reggie, Brown, and Watson.
Right.
You know, with the occasional smattering of DeAndre Jordan or Justin Holiday, that kind of thing. But, you know, now, yeah, I think that was a message. Wake up call for Peyton Watson. Hey, who says the Colorado Rockies don't spend money? They signed shortstop Ezekiel Tovar to a 7-year, $63 million deal. Tovar giving up some free agent years to be able to get the deal done now and money in the bank. Good move?
Yeah, Tovar's a good young player. Tell you what, though. So he probably had, 2 years left before he became arbitration eligible?
Right.
So it's basically he's getting a 5-year deal because, you know what I'm saying, after he would have become eligible. So I like it. Put some money in the bank.
Yeah, it's a smart move by the Rockies. And for all the complaining about the Rockies, they've got some nice everyday player prospects. They really do. And if you're looking at reasons to watch them this year, by the way, we should get word this week on what their TV deal is going to be. Drew Goodman hinting over the weekend that we better find out. They start later this week.
I thought for sure that headline the way you said the Rockies. Who says the Rockies don't spend money? I thought for sure they did an upgrade at the stadium. I thought that
was the story. Case, it was the actual baseball team. They actually invested in the baseball team, not just the ballpark. How about that? There's hope, I guess.
Yeah.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
That'll do it for
what is a trending. We'll open up the RamosLaw.com text line to you. A lot to react to. What was the best thing you saw this weekend? Also, we've got some information for you if you are a DU Pioneer hockey fan. We'll pass that along to you as well. That's all coming up next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
We're going to hear more from Sean Payton talking this morning at the owners' meetings, the AFC coaches' breakfast. We'll have some fresh audio for you from Sean, who we can tell you told Ian Rappaport it was, quote, realistic about the possibility of the Broncos moving up. And so the idea would be moving up from 12 to probably 4 or maybe even 3 if they do indeed covet a quarterback.
I know Cecil talked about that. We just had Cecil on. Said he's been talking about that since January. I don't think it's going to happen.
You don't?
I really don't. I don't.
Oh, yeah.
I felt like...
Because what? He doesn't covet a guy or because the asking price to move up is too steep? Because that's an important distinction.
Yeah. Yeah, I think... I just don't... I could... I mean, obviously, I could be wrong. And I told you about J.J. McCarthy early in this process. I just don't see that. I just don't see them moving up, using that much capital to move up to a guy who still has all these quarterbacks in my mind have questions. You know, and the overall thought process is Caleb Williams is a because people said it, you know, before he played a regular season snap for USC after his junior year in a Heisman, what do people talk about? Generational talent. And I think you have to be able to differentiate between generational talent and generational player. There's a big difference. You think Peyton Manning had generational talent? By the way, I think it's his birthday today. Peyton. I think
you're right.
But did he have generational talent? No. Is he a generational player? Absolutely.
Yes. No, it was yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yep.
Mm.
Happy birthday, Peyton Manning. Born March 24th, 1976. So he just turned 40.
He's in Aries. What does that mean, Rogue? What is it? Rogue just gave me he's an Aries.
Are you into astrology? Rogue?
Well, I try not to look into it very much because I like to believe in other things, but kind of.
What are Aries known for? They are a
fire sign.
Fire sign.
So they have qualities of the element of fire. They're very headstrong leaders.
Ooh.
Okay, well, that's Peyton Manning.
They can get angry real quick. Oh, they're short-tempered.
Peyton had a fuse.
Yeah.
Just ask the idiot kicker.
They're very strong, like powerful signs.
Yes.
Are you an Aries?
No.
No.
What are you?
What are you?
I'm a Scorpio.
Scorpio. What are you, Mark?
Aquarius.
Aquarius.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Gemini. Fever? What are you?
Sag, right?
Sag.
Yeah, I'm Sagittarius.
Sag. You're just a Sag.
What a Sag.
What a Sag.
Okay, so what is you're a Gemini?
Yeah.
What would be a Gemini quality, Rogue?
Well, a Gemini is an air sign, and so Geminis tend to think more like cerebral rather than like emotionally. Mm-hmm. They're very friendly.
Yep.
They're very go, go, go.
Yep.
Tons of energy.
Yep.
Yeah.
I
don't know about the energy part, but yeah.
Yeah, air sign.
Gemini, they're always busy. Busy, yes. Busy.
Yes.
Busy bees.
Hey.
Busy sleeping.
But, I mean, it's just, this is just
only
general.
On the weekends. Only on the weekends.
Yeah. Okay. So that he's an air sign.
Oh, Geminis are really creative, too. There's, like, so many artists that are Geminis. It's crazy.
Wow, really? Okay, Aquarius, what's an Aquarius?
Are we going to do this?
Yeah, right, I want to know. Let's get Mark.
Let's get Mark done here.
Aquarius is also an air sign.
Yeah, I thought it was water.
No. Although it sounds like it would be a water sign, but it's not. But I don't really know that much about Aquarius. I do know that Aquarius are very intelligent. Aquarius, because of like their juxtaposition with different signs, they're kind of like hell-bent on being like different than other people. So they really like, they hate to be like identified with others.
Yeah.
So
they have their own island.
That's right.
Yeah.
They're super so, yoked, yeah. probably.
Super yoked. Yeah, that's right.
Most of them are super right. yoked.
Yes, yeah. yes. Yeah. Strong muscular definition yes. there with the yes. age of Aquarius.
Yes.
All right. Who knew? All right, Rogue. Thank you.
I did not know Rogue was.
Thank you very much. Peyton Manning, 48 years old.
48.
Oh, that one kind of snuck up on me a little bit. 48. Yeah, I guess so. I guess so.
Yeah. Texter said Rogue lied when she said she was only kind of into astrology.
Jeez. Yeah,
well, I used to be really into it, and then I kind of abandoned it.
Well, you have a nice baseline knowledge, that's for sure. So we'll hear more from Sean Payton here in just a little bit. Meanwhile, the Avalanche continue to, well, I think it's safe to say they are now a heavy, heavy, serious Stanley Cup contender. I couldn't say that about them prior to the trade deadline. I just couldn't. They were in the mix, sure, but there was nothing about them at that point that felt like I could separate them from the pack. Now, I don't see why they don't go to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Let me ask you a question.
I really don't.
Let me ask you a question about Georgiev. You look at the 4-0 start and come away concerned with that start by Georgiev, or do you look at the way he manned the pipes in the second half of that game to give them a chance to win it in overtime?
That's a great question with the Avs, because they're the best comeback team in the NHL, but they get off to a lot of slow starts.
Right.
So what do you fixate on? Do you pay more attention to the slow starts and the idea that in the playoffs, especially coming off a playoff series loss to Seattle, where you gave up the first goal in every game and you lost that series, is that more important to get off to the fast start, or is it the ability to come from behind? I think it's more important to be able to come from behind.
I do too, but obviously it'd be nice not to give up all the fast starts.
No, but that's going to happen, or that can happen. You give up a fluke goal, you have an early power play, whatever, you're down 1-0. If you're one of those teams that's accustomed to playing with a lead, well, if all of a sudden in the playoffs, the super pressurized atmosphere that is the playoffs, and you find yourself down a goal, are you all of a sudden going, ooh, this feels uncomfortable? Whereas if the Avs, sure, if they jump out to a lead, here we go. But it's great to know that if they were trailing a goal or two, that they look around and go, yeah, we got this.
Yeah, we're good. No problem here.
We're good.
I still get concerned. Why then? Why do you come out with what might be perceived as a lack of intensity early?
That's a good question.
Or a lack of attention to detail
that's
early.
A good question.
Maybe that's a
fair question. That is. And if you have the answer, forward your thoughts to Jared Bednar. Sure, he'd love to know. While we're talking hockey, by the way, congratulations to the DU Pioneers.
Okay.
As they are one of the four top seeds in the upcoming NCAA hockey tournament, which gets going this week. They're going to be playing in the Springfield East region, Springfield, Massachusetts, and they're going to be playing UMass on Thursday at noon our time, which I'm always a little bit leery when they get sent out east like that, because they end up, you know, if they're playing one of those earlier games, the building's usually kind of empty. It's the dreaded, you know, like the Broncos going back to play one of those 11 a.m. games, right? We're always talking about that. I'm always a little bit nervous about that first game.
How many teams
for them playing early, first game on Thursday?
How many teams go to the hockey tournament?
16.
16.
Okay. 16.
That makes sense.
They won their conference tournament, so they're playing well. Let's see if they can't go get yet another national championship. I think that'd be their 10th. I'm spitballing. I'll look that up. Johnny, can you look that up? How many championships, NCAA hockey championships, do the Pioneers have? I want to say 9, but I might be off by a number or two. But anyway, good luck to them. Sean Payton talking at the owner's breakfast this morning. The AFC coaches were all available and give you a chance of some of the things he had to say, including the decision to move on from Justin Simmons.
Someone like Justin, who's really been a first-class player for the organization, someone that I know is respected highly in our league, certainly by us as coaches, that was difficult. That's the hard part of this job sometimes, and wasn't any fun.
The fact that Justin Simmons hasn't signed with anyone yet, does that legitimize the Broncos' decision to move on?
No, I think that market is pretty stoked. I mean, if Justin wanted, or pretty, slam, but if Justin wanted to sign somewhere, I think Justin probably had ample opportunity to do so. But the market has changed in that you're going to get about half of what the going rate used to be when he signed his contract. And that's what it is now. And so for Justin, then it's a matter of saying, okay, I'm going to wait until draft and see what the best possible fit for me is to come right in, to impact the team, and to be, a part of a championship caliber organization.
So this isn't a guy that's like scrambling to try to get a job. He's still looking at his situation where he can sit back and pick his spot and still get paid well.
I'm sure there were plenty of teams that were willing to give him, a 2-year, $15 million deal like Kevin Byard got. But I think he's biding his time because Byard went to Chicago. Well, what are the odds Chicago wins a championship this year or is even in the playoffs? If you're Justin Simmons and you've been out of the playoffs for 8 years, do you want to know what that tastes like? I mean, think about him. He came here right after the Broncos won a championship, and he's only had one winning season as a rookie. That's it. So he wants to go somewhere where he can taste a little bit of success.
Sit back, wait and see what teams do with the draft.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be cooling his heels for the next month?
Yeah.
Okay.
Working out.
Okay.
I don't know where I'm assuming he's living here.
Okay, so you
does he go somewhere to
he's
train?
He's still in a good position.
Sure.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
More from Sean Payton. The question, is Jarrett Stidham your guy? Is Jarrett Stidham the starter as of right now?
It's kind of exactly where we saw it a year ago. We felt like this is a player who can compete. We felt like he's got upside, a young player that's really played a limited amount of snaps relative to the years he's been in the league. Did anything change in those last two games leading to this season? I can't say, in fairness to him or the process, definitively that anything did, other than we still feel real positive about this player, and we're anxious to see him when he's getting a lot more snaps and work with the ones. It's difficult, especially...
Let's play a little game.
Okay.
What did he just say, and what did he mean?
What did he say, what did he mean?
What did he say, what does he actually mean?
Well, he likes Jarrett Stidham.
Okay.
Jarrett Stidham's got potential upside because he hasn't played a lot of snaps.
Mm-hmm.
As he said, relative to the years he's been in the league. So there's a big growth opportunity there. And essentially he said, could we go into the season with Justin being our starter? Or Jarrett being our starter? Yes. Do we want to go into the season with Jarrett being our starter? No. Isn't that what you heard?
Yeah, I did not hear. This is the guy I believe can be
right.
Our guy long-term, leading the Broncos back to greatness.
No.
I heard this could be our guy if we're, you know, rebuilding. And we're looking at a bridge here. And we're just looking to build up the roster and not look to over-invest or over-gamble at the quarterback position. Yeah, he could be our guy.
Jared is our guy as long as we can't find our guy.
That is correct.
Right. I mean, he's our guy. If we don't find our guy, then he's our guy until we find our guy.
We don't want, he can be the guy. We don't want him to be the guy.
Right. He could be our long-term backup.
But if we can't get the guy we want, he can be our guy for now.
Yeah, our guy for now.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. That's like if a gal that you went to high school with.
Oh, geez, I could see where this is going. Go ahead.
Couldn't find a prom date. You could be the guy to take her to the prom. If all the other guys already had dates. But you're not the guy. You're just the guy filling in for the potential guy.
I like the safety school.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the safety date. Safety prom date.
Right. So, like, you may go to the junior prom with her and you think, wow, like, when senior prom comes around, this is going to be great. We're going to have for a year and it's going to be awesome.
We didn't have junior prom.
What?
No, we didn't have junior prom.
You didn't have a junior prom?
Nope. It was just senior prom. We did not have a junior prom. Nope. Which the way you're laying it out, I guess, good for me. Thank goodness.
Oh. Well, it's good. It is actually good for you because then...
Because if I had to settle by my senior year, imagine what I would have been doing in my junior year.
No,
right?
I'm just saying, so you only got rejected once, not twice. Which is good. I mean, two times, and that could really change a guy's life.
My senior prom was just fine. I'm not going to mention the young lady because knowing you people out there, you'll...
Google her
and stalk her and... Or actually, you'll Google her, stalk her, and congratulate her, probably. Thank God you didn't make that mistake. Why am I saying that about myself?
I don't know.
This is KKFN, KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver.